Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code budget. That's monarch.com, promo code budget.
Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Jamie Mendelson. Jamie, are you ready to do this?
I am ready. Excited to be here.
Yeah, excellent. Let's go. Jamie is the EVP of the Asher Group. They are focused on life insurance settlements, doing valuations and trust asset reviews. I'm excited to have you on. Jamie, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. I appreciate the question. I am based in Orlando, Florida, although I spend a lot of time also in Bozeman, Montana. I've worked with Asher for close to 15 years. My family actually owns the company. So, it's a company that has been in business for close to 20 years. We are focused on working with advisory teams and policy owners around the country to value their existing life insurance assets. This space has been a wonderful space for me. I've enjoyed the opportunities to work with policy owners and insurance specialists, wealth managers, attorneys, CPAs. I do a lot of traveling, so there might be times I see people who are attending this podcast around the country. I speak all over the country as well for estate planning councils and different financial services type conferences. A little bit about me. I like to fish and travel and spend a lot of time doing that in my free time.
I love it. What do you fish for, Jamie?
Usually trout. So I spent a lot of time in Montana. COVID was good along those lines that we were able to spend some time fly fishing. I'm going to Alaska at the end of the month, so I'm excited about that. That'll be for salmon and trout as well. So do some deep sea fishing and flat fishing, but spend a lot of time in the office or on plane. So don't get to do it as much as I'd like to.
I love it. I don't love that you're not able to do it as much as you'd like to. I love the fact.
Thanks for correcting yourself there. I appreciate that.
Like, wow, that was really mean, George. Jamie, we talked about the potential of this. So anyway, so give me, if you would, provide us with sort of the lay of the land when it comes to life settlements, or maybe one step back, what life settlements are.
Sure. Let's start baseline. So a life settlement, by definition, is the sale of an existing life insurance policy for an amount greater than the surrender value, but less than the death benefit. So when you think about the life settlement option, or when you think about the life settlement asset class, which is we're going to talk a little bit more about today, really think about it the same way you think about other ordinary property. So the same way you can sell real estate, art, and jewelry in an open market, you can sell existing life insurance policies in an open market. And that transaction is called a life settlement. So as we're going through the discussion today, it's really thinking about life insurance as property. And the same way you would approach, again, other ordinary property like real estate, art, and jewelry, that before you'd make a decision on what to do with it, you'd understand the value. That's what we help clients do. And then once you know the value, if the decision is made that you want to sell that life insurance policy, that asset, Asher represents sellers in the sale. We go to market, create the auction, and then negotiate sale price for the policy based off this competitive bidding environment. So I think you could compare it to, if you imagine, maybe if you've watched movies or TV shows that have that auction process with the paddles going up when you're selling this kind of hard to value asset. That's really what Asher's doing for life insurance policies. We create this auction. We get different institutions, both domestic and international, to bid and compete for the purchase of that policy, which results in the life settlement transaction.
Fascinating. So why would I sell my life insurance policy?
Yeah, so I think it's really when the opposite of why the life insurance was put in place happens. So maybe you're selling a company or someone's retiring, so you don't need that business insurance or the key person or the split dollar policies. Other times you're in a situation where maybe you're going through divorce and you don't need the life insurance policy anymore for the protections it was put in place. Some of the clients we work with through planning have created some pretty complex structures. And when the plan has been, completed or is felt to be sufficient, they want to unwind those. But it's just like any other kind of asset sale. Say you bought an expensive watch and you made the decision you never, no longer wanted it or needed it. You were moving on to something else or a different watch. Similarly with life insurance, something happens. You no longer need it, want it, can afford it. But before you just give it back to the carrier or throw it away, advisory teams work with Asher to value it. And then if that value is greater than what you can give it back to the carrier for in a surrender or just lapse it or throw it away for, then Asher will go and negotiate a value for that policy that is a better option than those other alternatives. So it's again, a different exit strategy than surrender lapse or maybe reducing the face. And clients are doing that when their needs have changed or their ability to afford the policy has changed. One last thought on that as we're kind of talking through it is what we see quite a bit of is that people are living longer than expected. So one of the services we provide is also about longevity or life expectancy and how that can affect planning or kind of time horizons on investments. Well, life expectancy also impacts life insurance, right? The how much for how long. So many times people are now living well into their 80s or 90s, which they never expected to, or the trustee didn't realize, the insured would live so long and doesn't have the funds to pay the premium. So those are times too where the policy, people live so long it's not needed, or maybe they live so long and it's just not affordable anymore to continue to pay, that premium or required obligation.
Interesting. So, do most policyholders understand this, or is it more the advisor is helping the policyholder understand it?
Usually there's an advisory team involved. A lot of policy owners, whether they're individuals or trustees or businesses or charities, they're sophisticated in their own business and their own maybe planning. But the life settlement option is such a niche option. It's not something that occurs a lot that many times the consumer, the policy owner is unaware that this option even exists. So many times it's the advisor that's educating or informing their client that it exists. I will say there's quite a bit of advertising going on right now about the life settlement option that it is creating awareness. So I fly all over the country usually a few times a month. And it used to be I'd sit next to someone on a plane and they'd say, I've never heard of what you do. Why haven't I ever been told about this option? For helping to fund maybe relatives' long-term care needs, this idea of liquidating life insurance, or for businesses, liquidating the life insurance asset to buy inventory to help the company grow. So it impacts people and companies a lot of different ways, and they used to never know what it was. But through advertising and some marketing that's going on, I think COVID really kind of ramped that up with people being at home or being watching TV more or playing online, spending more time online and seeing the advertising, that now people seem to be aware of it, don't really understand it, which makes sense because it is such a unique opportunity for people or companies. But it's growing in awareness, but really a lot of education is still needed that this option exists.
It's super interesting. So are we talking about a permanent life insurance product that has a cash value, or does this also apply to term insurance with no cash value?
Yeah, that's a great question. It actually applies to all policy types, so from your term to your universal life, even whole life. However, the majority of the buyers in the market that are buying, they're most interested in universal life policies. So whether that's the permanent universal life policy that has some cash or very little cash in it, or term policies that are still convertible. to a permanent product. Those are probably at the highest demand in the marketplace. That being said, right now I'm under contract on a non-convertible term. So when that option's viable, it's usually because, you know, the insured is either older or young with some significant impairments or shorter kind of life expectancies, because non-convertible term can be very expensive. So when you think about the market and which policies will be viable or which clients, when you think about it as in terms of more of like how much for how long. So the how much is what's that ongoing premium? The how long has everything to do with life expectancy. So on a term policy, for example, if the premium's going up significantly for that policy to be attractive, you likely need a shorter life expectancy to counterbalance that expense. So really good question. I always say just reach out to your advisory team or a broker, you know, a seller's representative, and just ask before you materially change, throw away, or give away a policy to find out, because all policy types have their place in the market. And based off these different kind of discount factors or variables, all of them can potentially be interesting to capital, although your highest success rate is usually universal life policies on insureds probably over the age of 70.
Interesting. Well, that certainly does make sense. All right. So we've got, let's just assume that I'm 72 years old and I've got a universal life policy. And I say, you know, I don't even know why I have this thing anymore. Sure. I call the insurance company, the death benefit's $1 million and there's $100,000 of cash value or a surrender value of $100,000. Mm-hmm. The insurance company says, well, George, you know, you can just stop paying it and we'll send you $100,000. But instead of just doing that, I call you, Jamie, and you say, well, let's go through evaluation. And just to use round numbers, you say, you know what? I think, George, that your policy is probably worth $150,000 or something like that. So instead of me just stopping paying the premium and getting $100,000, I work with an organization like Asher, and you take my policy, value it, and then go through this bidding process and potentially could get, that's a random number, I appreciate it, but a value more than I would have just gotten from canceling the policy or surrendering or whatever language that we're using.
Yeah, I couldn't have actually said it better myself. I might take you on the road with me.
Yes.
That was job well done. But that's exactly right. I mean, we're usually selling policies on average, I'd say between 10 and 40% of the face amount on average. I've sold policies at 2% of face. Based off those factors, the how much for how long being the most influential, we've sold policies at 70% of face or higher. So your example where you have $1 million policy has 100,000 of surrender value, but the market created an additional 50,000 over that surrender value. So that I think is a pretty common example. The market has to pay more than the surrender value for the life settlement to be a viable option. And again, it averages about 10 to 40% of face. Obviously the surrender value in the policy impacts that percentage as well. But you know, the market is looking at the asset compared to, you know, the original policy owner and saying, what am I willing to pay today, knowing I'm going to have to pay premium into that policy for a healthy 72-year-old, likely another 15 to 18 plus years. So that influences the value. So it's kind of like a seesaw. The more expensive the policy, the more impaired the insured needs to be to make up for that high expense. Your ideal scenario is a very inexpensive policy with a very short life expectancy, and then the higher the value, the market will pay for that policy. But all policies fit the market. Your 70 plus year olds by age alone kind of fit the life expectancy requirements. But that's the example you gave is really perfect. It's this idea of, will the market pay more than what the carrier will give you? And when it does, I mean, I wouldn't walk over, in this case, $50,000 on the sidewalk. And that's a lot of time what people are doing with their life insurance policies. They never explore this market. They're just giving it back to the carrier and taking that value.
Yeah.
Imagine if you used a developer for real estate and you bought a house and the original developer said, if you ever want to sell this house, you have to give it back to me and sell it back to me for this amount of money. You'd be like, that's crazy. I want to go to an open market. If I ever want to sell my house, I'm not going back to a number you're just arbitrarily giving me. Well, that's what's been happening for decades for life insurance policies. But now this marketplace, when I say now, it's been in this regulated market for over 10 years, over almost 15, 20 years, actually, when I think about all the states that are regulated, you know, that option exists, this competitive market to pay more than what the carrier might give you.
Fascinating. How often are people turned off or stopped by the concern or fear that somebody is going to try to kill them?
You know, we hear that occasionally, but I will say that that has really lessened over time. This is a highly regulated marketplace. The departments of insurance and financial services around the country per state are regulating this transaction. So by working with, again, from like Asher, I can speak on our approach. We're only working within that regulated marketplace. We're only negotiating and selling policies to institutional capital. We're not selling them to, you know, John Smith, Jane Doe, or to a bunch of individuals. We're working with private equity, hedge funds, pension funds, you know, and sometimes, you know, I will compare it that if you have a client that you sell a lifetime annuity to, you're not worried that the carrier is going to obviously have some alternative motivations for that person to pass away early, right?
I wasn't concerned until right now, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think it's something that through regulation, through working with, you know, again, professional firms that provided due diligence on any of the buyers, you're mitigating out a lot of those concerns of only working with institutions, not the individual.
Makes sense. I don't know why I think that's funny. It's not funny at all. In fact, it's the opposite of funny, the thought that somebody would try to kill me to cash in on my life insurance, Jamie. Anyway.
It's not funny.
No,
not funny.
You've done a great job explaining it. I don't know why I'm making jokes. Jamie, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
No, you know, I think the biggest takeaway that I try to make sure people have on any of the discussions or presentations is really, you know, taking that extra step of treating life insurance as an asset. Really think about it the same way you think about your real estate, your art, your jewelry. Understand the value before you make any decision on what to do with it. You know, we've seen people where, you know, the liquidity event from a life settlement really impacts their life or their business. We see others that didn't recognize that it had value and walked away from tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars. So talking about the life insurance policy with your advisory team, making sure every year that you are requesting a current illustration, so a current ledger that shows the ongoing premium requirements to carry your policy to say age 105. I think that's a planning tip that I would recommend, because sometimes these carriers, unfortunately, stop being able to, or willing to provide illustrations specifically like you might need. So treat life insurance as an asset. Make sure you kind of hit pause before you do anything to materially change the policy would be my recommendation.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets come on. Jamie, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you and the Asher Group?
Oh, wonderful. You can visit our website at ashergroup.com, and that's ashargroup.com. It has a lot of information. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. You're welcome to shoot me an email or call my cell phone. I'm again in Montana. We're working remote these days. My cell phone number is 407-782-3600, or my direct work line is 321-441-1119. So feel free to reach out to me or a member of our team. There's a lot of information out there. We have all types of articles that were written for Trust and Estate and Tax Advisor and other magazines and journals that are available to you and to your professional teams to learn a little bit more about the market. So I appreciate the opportunity of speaking here with you all today.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jamie your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to ashergroup.com, ashargroup.com. Contact Jamie on LinkedIn or give her a call, shoot her a message. Thanks again, Jamie.
All right.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, as we are all in this together.